Over the past few weeks, in our Sunday morning and Sunday evening lessons, we've been talking about Satan and God, about light and darkness, about lies and truth, about things that are wholesome and good and strengthening, and about things that are bitter and corrupting. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. Satan is in the midst of darkness. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were in the light, walking in the light, living God's life, knowing all, living purely. And the devil brought darkness into this world through that lie. In order to protect ourselves, we have got to be able to see clearly what is and what is not from God. I want to begin our lesson this morning with this passage in Romans. And do this knowing the time, that now is the time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. As we look at this passage of Scripture, what we see is some very important descriptions of the two realms that you and I, one we have come out of, one we are coming into. And so he speaks of sleep. And he tells us that we should sleep only in the night. We were asleep before we became a Christian. We couldn't see the realities of spiritual truth. Paul says in Ephesians, "Awake thou that sleep, and let Christ shine upon you." People who sleep, sleep at night. They sleep in the darkness. They are unaware of spiritual truth. They don't know that adultery is wrong. They don't know that being drunk is wrong, because they're asleep and they're in the darkness. These things are wrong. They've always been wrong. There is no place for them in God's world. And yet they exist because of the darkness. And so we have sleep, we have night, we have day, we have darkness. So as you look at these things, and as you think about them, what they are emphasizing is a very important truth. And that is that you and I must be sober. We've got to be thinking all the time. Because here's basically how it works. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. I'm walking in the light, you're walking in the light. We know the truth has made us free. We are struggling and striving to fight and control and conquer our lusts. But suddenly, an old temptation arises. While we're in the light, we recognize it for what it is. And with the armor of light on, we seek the way of escape and we flee. But as the desire strengthens, we often find reasons and rationalizations just to get a little bit closer. We're not going to do it. But instead of fleeing, instead of cutting off the hand or pulling out the eye, I just want to see a little bit more. And we start making provisions. Even though we're denying it, even though we're lying to ourselves, even though we're going to sleep, even though we're walking into the darkness, we're beginning to make that provision. Because in our heart of hearts, we know that this is going to happen. As the lust strengthens, our understanding darkens. The scriptures that would condemn the activity, I won't say they disappear, but you just can't see them. You're in the darkness now. You're in the darkness, you're in the grips of a desire that God gave you, a desire that has a lawful way to be fulfilled, because every desire has a lawful way to be fulfilled. And when we're walking in the light, we can see that clearly, and we can see that what we are tempted and what we're about to do is disgusting and despicable and ungodly and not a part of the life that a Christian should live. But as that lust strengthens, our understanding begins to darken. And we've all gone through this process, and this is your last chance. This is the last chance we have to put on the armor of light. As our understanding begins to darken, we begin to fall asleep. The light is extinguished and only darkness is left. And while we're in that darkness, we can commit sin and evil, and our conscience doesn't even feel a thing. It's not until the lust is gone that we turn to the light. We feel the sorrow, the grief, the bitterness, the understanding of what we've just done. But with the armor of light, you can see clearly through the entire process. That's what Jesus did at the temptation. He was tempted. It says he was tempted in all points like as we. But he did not succumb to those temptations because he was in the light. He was in the light from the moment that temptation arose until he walked away from that temptation. He saw clearly. Even though his lust was saying one thing, he saw clearly what it was, what it would do, and so it was easy for him to put it away. In another passage, as Paul speaks of what we came from, and what we are trying to leave behind, he says, "No longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Brethren, this is the world we live in. This is the evil companionship that we are being corrupted with. This is what we came from. We understand it fully. Those of us who came out of the world, we understand it maybe a little better than those of us who were raised by Christian parents who maybe didn't open as many doors. But the reality of it is that every temptation is born from the futility, the emptiness, the lack of understanding of what we're doing. It's like Jesus when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They had no idea. If they had had a glimpse of what they were doing, they would have fled in terror to be crucifying the Word who was with God, who was God, who created all things, and who at that moment could have called legions of angels and destroyed them all, but they didn't know. What they did was futile. God said, "Why do the Gentiles rage and why do they imagine a futile thing?" They've arrayed themselves against the Lord and they're in his anointed. They didn't know that. But that didn't change the truth, and they could have known it. Having their understanding darkened, this is exactly what occurs. Look not at the cup when it's red and sparkling. At the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Now, if you see it for its stinging quality, if you see it for the poison, you look at it and there's no temptation, it's just disgusting. But if you look at it while it's red, if your understanding is darkened, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. And so it's so easy to go back into that darkness. And I want you to watch yourself the next time you're being tempted and you're going into sin, because I know it's going to happen. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. Because the devil is a roaring lion, he's casting out those temptations wherever he can. And so the next time that happens, just remember that that's the darkness you came from. And go through the process, go through the understanding. Whatever temptations you have, find the scriptures that will shine the light on it. And use those scriptures before the darkness becomes so gloomy that lust takes over. Don't forget that God gave you all of these desires, and God gave us the wonderful ability to use them in a lawful and a good way. And when we see it like that, it becomes much more difficult to sin. Because that's the power of darkness. Darkness is when you close your eyes. Darkness is when you rationalize and you tell yourself, I'm just going to get this close. Or maybe you're even bold enough to say, well, I can always repent after I'm through. And so we enter into the darkness. In 1 John chapter 1, John puts it another way. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Now, the point of this discussion, and we'll see this in the next slide where I kind of lay it all out, but what God is trying to help us understand is that everything that comes from me is true, it's just, it's honorable, it's godly, it's righteous, it will get you into heaven, it will bless you in every way, there will be no sting, there will be no consequences, you won't hurt anyone, you won't be hurt, everything that comes from me is light. So when we're reading the scriptures, when we are living the scriptures, when we are using the scriptures to destroy these temptations that want to lead us back into the darkness, there's no darkness in God at all. There's no darkness in the scriptures. There's no darkness in any of my emotions as long as I use them. There's no darkness in any of my desires as long as I use them as God has given them to be used. But if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, you remember who the liar is and the father of all liars? If we walk in the darkness, but we claim to have fellowship with God, the reality is that Satan is our father and not God. Because as Jesus said in John 8:44, he was a liar from the beginning. You are of your father, the devil. It is his will that you desire to do. We walk in the darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, when we see where we're going, when we awake, when we understand the consequences of every activity that God condemns, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. If you can see yourself being cast into hell for this next activity, because brethren, if you die while you're in the middle of that activity, you will be sent to eternal damnation. Now, if I can see that before I do it, I'm going to run away. It's like walking up to a rattlesnake. Oh, isn't that pretty and patent? You're not going to do that. You're going to run away from it. So, God is light. In him is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. So, that's the gist of the armor of light, which is where we're going. We want to put on the armor of light. But in order to put on the armor of light, we have to understand how to put it on. And so, the armor of light comes from God. The armor of light comes from the scriptures. The armor of light comes when I read the scriptures and I trust them more than my eyes. We walk by faith and not by sight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. For his commandments are not grievous, and they are for our good always. Now, when I'm looking at things like that, when I see clearly, when I get up in the morning, and as I say my prayers, I ask my God to see things clearly today. And that when these temptations arise, I can see them and I can stop them. If I'm in the darkness, I can't see them. I don't take the steps to avoid them. And I end up in the same place time after time after time. If I don't put on the armor of light, that's how it's always going to be. Because if we walk in the darkness, we are not practicing the truth. Now, this can be just for a moment. Each temptation pulls us back to walk in darkness. We can confess and he will forgive. But there's always consequences. You can't just sin and ask for forgiveness and expect that life will just continue on. It won't. Because with every decision we make, we harden our hearts and we change to be a different person. When we corrupt ourselves, we don't see things clearly anymore. And I think we're all aware of that. If you commit a sin of a public nature and people know about it, and you ask for forgiveness and you're forgiven, but you don't quite feel the same for the rest of your life. That's the consequences of this. This is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. Jesus came to reveal the light to us. He came, every word in the scriptures, everything he taught in the scriptures, is light. It's come directly from God. And if we do it, if we respect it, if we love it, if we submit to it, if we make it important to us, we're walking in the light. But if we take the things that Jesus has said, and in some way or another they're impacting my life in a way that I don't want to be impacted, let's not be foolish about it. If there's anything Jesus says that I don't want to do, or I'm not doing, or that I can't do, I'm in the darkness. The light has come into the world. Men love the darkness rather than the light. Now, we know what this means before people become Christians. And we know what it means. We take the gospel to them and they laugh or they say, I'm really not interested, or they get angry. What's harder to see is when it's in the church. And what's even harder to see is when it's within us. And there's very few of us here who do not love some portion of darkness. That one realm in our life that we can't quite see clearly. And we read the scriptures and we wonder, I don't see what's so bad about this one. Now, I read all the rest of them, they're disgusting, they're nauseating, but I don't really see, I can understand why somebody could be like this, and I don't feel quite as disgusting. If our works are evil, verse 19, they love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. Now again, this can be global or it can be very specific. It can be one little thing. That one little thing that when the preacher preaches on it, you get a little irritated. That one little thing that in the scriptures is clearly the truth, but we can't or we won't accept it. Verse 20, everyone that practices evil hates the light. Now, I may love the gospel, but I may hate one portion of the gospel, and we've all met people who will do that. We bring something to them, something they have to give up, something they have to change, something that can no longer be practiced, or something they must do that they're not accustomed to doing. They don't like that scripture. That's the light. They hate the light. When those scriptures are presented, their eyes they have closed, their necks they have stiffened, their ears will not hear. That's what Jesus contended with. Those Pharisees, they didn't hate God. They didn't hate the light. But they hated Jesus because there were certain aspects of the light that, now they didn't disagree with Jesus on everything. Everyone that practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made, may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Now, do you want to know the truth? Or are there certain activities you really don't want to know? You don't want to hear. I like this. I'm not giving this up. So, as you look at these things, this is the definition of light and darkness. Whoops. Okay, I guess I must have set it up in such a way that it just keeps on running. So I can't bring that back one up. But the point that we're trying to get at is that there is light and there is darkness. I would have liked to have seen that other chart, but the other chart just put these two things right next to each other. But here's what light is. The day is at hand, put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. God is light, no darkness at all. Fellowship with him, we walk in the light as he is in the light. Light has come into the world. He who does the truth comes to the light. His deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So, as I come from the world, there is darkness in my heart. As Jesus said, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I have to understand, you have to understand, that there are still portions in our heart that are dark. The light of the truth has not yet entered fully enough that we can see it clearly. And when we find those areas, they should become our number one priority. They should become the very things that we are the most interested in. and that we are focused on day after day. If I stay focused globally, then these little tiny details are going to keep causing issues. But if I start focusing on those things, finding the scriptures so I can see the truth, understanding fully what it is when I do this, then I can stop it. Now, some of us are better than this than others because some of us have better memories than others. Some of us, we can't really remember, and so we keep getting tripped up by the same thing and by the same thing over and over again. Darkness is the same. Sleep and night, darkness, strife and envy, revelry, drunkenness, lewdness, lust, provisions for the flesh to fulfill lust, walk in darkness, lie, don't practice truth, love the darkness, works were evil, practice evil, hate the light, won't come to the light, deeds are exposed. So, as we look at these things, we have to make practical applications. And as I said, it's real easy to make these practical applications and point our finger at the people in the world that haven't obeyed the gospel. And these passages of Scripture are for that. They're certainly for that. They are for our ability to identify evil companionship so we can escape, so we can find a way of escape. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. If I see it as an evil companionship, I put up a barrier, I put up my armor, I block, I understand. So certainly that's true. But if that's as far as we go with this, the darkness that is in us will remain. Let's not deceive ourselves, brethren. We came from the darkness, and until we're perfect, there is still some darkness within us, some emotions that we misuse, some attitudes that are inappropriate, some activity, some words, some thoughts, some relationships that are not exactly what they should be, either by sins of omission or by sins of commission. There are things we should be doing that we're not doing because we can't see it. There are things that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing because we can't see it, because we're asleep, because it's night, because of darkness. Are we interested in finding those things? That's what the armor of light is for. That's what the armor of God is for. And that's what we need to appreciate and understand is, I want a lantern so that I can go through my television set, my reading, my thoughts, my relationships, my conduct, my emotions. And that's what we all need to be doing. All of us. Everyone here has realms where we're in the darkness. I can see it in you. You can see it in me. That's the weird thing about this. Sometimes the last person to know is the person who's doing it. That's why we exhort one another. That's why we confess our sins one to another. That's why we are given to hospitality and we utilize opportunities to talk to each other. And we even though we're afraid, we have to point out. You know, we like to think we're perfect, but we know we're not. You know something? This doesn't work the way my old one does. Tim, I may have to give up on this. This is just frustrating. I'm trying to remember where the verse is, brethren. Okay, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. I want to read the verse before we talk about it. So let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. I can't get this thing to go back. So we have a new computer, an Apple computer, and I've never used it before. And it's been a little frustrating. First Thessalonians chapter 5 is where we're going. Verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let those of us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now again, this is written to Christians, and it's filled with compliments and warnings. So the compliment is, you're sons of light, and you're sons of the day. When we become Christians, we become sons of God. We become sons of the light, sons of righteousness, because these new characteristics, we have a new father and mother now. Instead of the devil and the characteristics of the devil, the darkness, the lying, the deceit, the ungodliness and corruption, now we're sons of light. Now, just because we're a son of light doesn't mean that we don't have to keep looking for the truth. So we are sons of light and sons of the day. And we are always seeing things clearly when thy word is a lamp unto our feet. But the problem is that sometimes the very scriptures that would reveal, because of prejudice, we can't see it. And often when somebody points it out to us, we become defensive and we become angry. Instead of being open and honest, and we may ultimately disagree with them, but we should never immediately flash or lash back. We should all be willing to take the scriptures and look at any aspect of our character. We're not of the night. We're not of darkness. We don't allow lusts to darken. We don't make provisions. Jesus said, don't make provisions, cut it off. If your hand causes you to stumble, don't have it in your refrigerator. Don't have it in your home where you can walk in and get it. That's making provision. Get it out of your home. Whatever it is. Computer, television, whatever it is. Get it out of your home. Let us who are of the day be sober. In other words, always stay aware. Always use the scriptures to see. Always be evaluating. The devil is crafty. And he knows how to push our buttons. He knows how to make us do things we don't want to do, and he knows how to keep us in the darkness. You remember what Jesus said about the parable of the sower? When the word enters the heart, then the devil comes and removes it. Well, how does he do that? Well, I preach a good sermon on some particular activity, and that night the temptation of all temptations comes, and suddenly you've lost everything at that sermon. All your new found resolutions, all of the new goals that you were going to do, just washed away in a moment of severe temptation. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. So our defense is to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to be ready to defend ourselves. We need that breastplate on so that when the devil comes, we have something to protect ourselves. Well, what is this breastplate? Well, this breastplate is faith and love. In other words, I can't commit this sin because it would harm that person. I can't do this because this person would be crushed or hurt. I can't do this because my God has said if I do this, then I'll be doomed and I have too much trust in God to do it. I've got the breastplate of faith and love on. And then as a helmet, I can't lose my salvation. I can't give in to this sin. I can't do this. If I die in this activity, my salvation is gone. And so we're living, thinking about the consequences to other people instead of the pleasures to ourselves. We're living, thinking about the scriptures and our trust in the scriptures and how if I give into this activity, I'm not trusting in the Lord. And we are thinking about our salvation, understanding that if I give into this thing, I might lose it. Now, that's going to have a tremendous impact on my decisions, positively and negatively. Sins of omission, sins of commission. By sins of omission, I mean, don't forsake your assembling together. If you don't come, that's a sin of omission. It's not a sin of commission. You haven't done anything. It's because you didn't do something. A sin of commission is when it says, thou shalt not steal, and you steal. You've committed. We've committed an act, or we've omitted an act, depending on what it is. James says, to him who knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. I need faith. I need love, and I need my hope of salvation to keep me on the straight and narrow path. Here's the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. He says, we give no offense in everything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend, or we set ourselves forth. This is the basis upon which Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, the things that you have heard and seen in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Because we commend ourselves as ministers of God. And then he says this, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Now, if you look at all of these things, this is the armor of light. This is what you have to put on in order to protect yourself from all the wiles of the devil. When purity is more important to us than pleasure, when knowledge of what is good and evil is more important to us than what we've always done or what we've created for our own self-esteem. We don't want our self-esteem ripped away by realizing that we've been doing something all these years that is inappropriate, and so we fight and we hold on to it and we rationalize. By long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit. Now you see, within these things, sometimes we just need to be patient. We just need to hold out a little longer and we can win this battle. Sometimes we just need to be kinder. Sometimes we just, if we were a little more kind, we wouldn't succumb to these attitudes and these dispositions. And sometimes we just need the Holy Spirit to for the Scriptures to train us. Sometimes we need sincere love, or the word of truth, or the power of God, or the armor of righteousness. This is what Paul said commended him as a minister. And brethren, it will commend us as well. Because this is the light. If we want to walk in the light, we have to strip away the glasses that are colored with prejudice, the glasses that are colored with ignorance and hardness of heart, and put on the way to see things through the lenses of purity. I can't do that. It's impure. It'll make me impure. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to do that anymore. I can't, with the knowledge I have now, I can't do this anymore because I know it's wrong. Now, it might be a battle, but we know it's wrong. We can see it now, and then we need the long-suffering to hang on. And again, I'm not going to preach this again, but I think we see the point. Well, okay, I guess we went backwards here. I'm trying a new piece of equipment here, so I'm going to apologize. I guess that's what I needed to do last time. Okay, that one. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, what he's saying there in that particular verse is that I'm going to have to come and I'm going to have to be bold enough to rebuke. And those of you who have put yourself in a position for rebuke, you can expect to get one. I beg you that when I'm present, I don't have to be bold with you. I beg that you'll repent and you'll get forgiveness so that when I come, I can be kind. Because if I'm present with you, I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, once again, this is the armor of light. This is the way we see things. Yes, some of us are struggling, and some of us need to be rebuked, as Paul was saying here. But we need to understand some things. Verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. There's no real sword. There's no real spear. There's no real shield. There's no real helmet. They're not carnal. If we went out and got those things, they wouldn't do us a bit of good, because the battle we're battling is not carnal. It's a spiritual battle. We need spiritual weapons. But what Paul is saying here is this is not a parable. This is a reality. What the armor in the spiritual realm accomplishes is just as powerful and just as important as the physical. So the weapons of our warfare, they're not fleshly, but they're mighty. They're mighty in God. They got the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through an entire life with no sin. That's what armor will do. That's what we can do when we see clearly. A lot of us have left many sins behind because we see them too clearly to commit them anymore. But there's some things we need to put on the armor of light, because the devil has got control of us as long as we have that emotion. As long as that emotion can take control of us and drag us like a ring in our nose wherever it wants, we're not our own. We're still under the control of the devil. And he can push our buttons whenever he wants. And that's how we have to see it to conquer it. Because if we don't see it that way, we just keep on doing it. Pulling down strongholds. Brethren, some of the things that we struggle with are strongholds. We've done them our whole life. They're a part of our natural being. Not only are they environment, they're hereditary. Some of us have struggles that are hereditary, and to pull down those strongholds of anger or jealousy or frustration or disrespect, they're hard to pull down. And we have so many rationalizations and reasons why they're okay, but they're not okay. They're never okay. If we have the armor of kindness and the armor of love and the armor of faith on, we can't do that to people. We can't be rude to them. Love doesn't behave rudely. Love doesn't take account of evil. But sometimes we do. Casting down reasonings. I've got rationalizations for everything I do. I always have. I have good reasons for what I do. You can ask me and I can tell you why, but then you can bring the scriptures and say, well, those are good reasons, but I'm going to cast them down. Casting down reasonings. And every high thing, every important thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, we've done this with some realms. All of us have. But there are some strongholds, brethren. And again, I see them in you. You see them in me. I was thinking about that the other day. I was praying, and I just started thinking about all the brethren here and the struggles that some of us are having. But instead of, well, I'm going to go rebuke them, no, I'm going to pray about it. And I'm going to help by preaching sermons like these. Now, eventually, probably come and talk. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, once again, these are not fleshly. These are spiritual things. And the mind sometimes doesn't see how powerful they are. And that's why many of us haven't activated them yet. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The greatest victory that we could gain is to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, not in the things we've already conquered, but in those new things, those last little things that are keeping us from being everything we need to be. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, when we face that evil day, when the devil has come and all of our defenses are at their lowest ebb and we are vulnerable, if we can put on the whole armor of God and do all, we can still stand. And then if you look at the armor of God, what you find is that it's exactly what we were talking about with the armor of light. It's the way to see things clearly, because when you see things clearly, you can defend yourself like Jesus did. Satan said, command these stones to become bread. I know you're hungry. You need to eat. Command these stones to become bread. It is written, Jesus answered. He could see too clearly what the devil was trying to make him do for the lust of the flesh to even get a foothold. And on it went. It is written. So what are the armor? Truth, righteousness, preparation in the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God. All of these things are defensive tools, except, of course, the last one, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Being righteous means that I want to give everyone their due, and I don't want to take anything from someone that is not mine. I don't have the right to hurt someone. That's not my right to do. And even though I'm angry or frustrated, truth will cause me to see it clearly, and I will stop it before it happens. I will say to myself, I cannot do this because I know what it is and I know what it will do. Now, if I can't see that, I'm going to go ahead and do it, and I'm not even going to realize it until it's too late. And I may never even realize it because it's just what I've always done in this particular circumstance. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? We have to shine the light of truth on our activities. Preparation of the Gospels. How much time do we spend preparing, studying, getting ready for the next battle, trying to find out what the next battle should be? As I say, a lot of the biggest problems we have, we're not even aware of. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. There's a struggle in verse 11. Having fellowship with them, consenting with them, enjoying watching that activity. No, rather expose them. And so, as we finish our lesson and we open our songbooks to the Song of Invitation, oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be. When we didn't know, when we didn't want Jesus controlling our lives, we didn't want Jesus to become a part of us, we didn't want Him dwelling within us. All of self and none of thee. And then through the process of time, as we again apply it to our lesson, the light begins to shine, we begin to see ourselves more clearly, we begin to understand that if I want to spend eternity with God in heaven, I've got to make some serious changes. And it becomes, I want more of you and less of me. And then, over time, as we see more clearly, we want it to be always what Jesus and never what I. Now, I don't know where you are as you sing this song. I think all of us have a ways to go. Even though Paul could tell the Galatians, it's no longer I who live, but Christ liveth in me, he can also tell the Corinthians about the same time, or maybe a little later, I discipline my body and bring it into bondage, lest after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul was still struggling. Even though he says Christ lives in me, he also said I have to discipline my body because my flesh is still trying to take control. And so, brethren, as we sing this song, there's several options for you this morning. If you've heard this for the first time and you haven't become a Christian, this is your opportunity to come into the light. It's your opportunity to walk in the light as He's in the light. If you're here as a Christian and you have done things, private things, that are dark, you can ask God to forgive you and you can take care of that and you can go on your way rejoicing. But keep this in mind. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your mirror where you fix yourself up in the morning. Put it where you can see it so that you can remember it. Because if you forget it, you're going to go to sleep again. If you forget it, you're going to go back into the darkness again. And if you've done something publicly that you need to take care of, you need to come back to the light, you need to confess your sins one to another, it's a difficult thing to do, but it's necessary to put on the whole armor of God and to put on the armor of light. If we can help you in any way, would you please let us know while we together stand and sing?